We've read these verses now for, this will be the sixth week, and we got three more to go. And then when we get through with this, we all better quote this verse, at least these two verses. And the time we've read them so many times and made reference to them, we ought to know these verses and know some things about it. I try to make, been trying to make these Wednesday night services just a time of study, study the Word of God and find what the Lord would have for us. And the Scripture says here in Galatians 5:22, says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." Now we've dealt with the first five topics here of this verse that tells us that the fruit of the Spirit is. We've dealt with love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness. And tonight we're going to look at that word goodness. You say, well, what's the difference between gentleness and goodness? Not a whole lot. But there's some things that are a little different. And we'll be looking at dealing with that portion of the verse tonight, just that word goodness. The fruit of the Spirit is goodness. And I'm glad tonight that we have the Word of God that tells us some things about the goodness of God and the greatness of our Lord and what He's done for us. And we'll find that as you look into the Word of God, you'll find that we serve a great God. We serve a God that's good to us. And if He gave to us what we deserve, if He gave to us what really is needed in our life, we'd all spend eternity in hell, and we'd spend it deservingly because we're sinners against Him. But because of His goodness, we don't have to go to hell. We can go to heaven through the shed blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. And we that are children of God, we that are believers, the Scripture says that we are to bear fruit. We're to be fruit bearers. And we are to give forth abundant, much fruit for the grace of God and in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And to do that, we have to walk in the Spirit. To do that, we have to get our lives in a place where that the Spirit of God can help us and guide us and direct us. Now, we're none of us tonight, none of us are totally, or none of us are under control totally by the Holy Spirit. If we were, we'd be completely out of place in this world. We don't believe in the eradication of sin, nature, and doing away with that until we get to heaven. But we can walk in the Spirit. We can let God help us and direct us. Even though we fight against it, even though we go against Him, we are to have the Spirit of God active in our life and to serve Him. And so we've looked at love, we've looked at joy and peace. Those are the facets or the avenues of the fruit of the Spirit that has to do with our heart. Love, joy, and peace. That's on the inside. And those things are there, and if we'll let God put them there, they'll be there forever. To have the ability to love, to have the ability to have the joy of God, how to the ability to have the peace of God doesn't come from this world. It comes only from the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we're dealing with this next section of threes, long-suffering, gentleness, and goodness. And that has to do with our relationship with others. We're to be long-suffering to those around us. We're to be gentle with those around us. We're to be good to those around us. And so that's what we're dealing with tonight, this last portion of this second section of the fruit of the Spirit of goodness. Now, first of all, we need to think about the supernatural goodness of God. And God is a supernatural being. Sometimes we sort of relate God as being like you and I, but He's far greater than we are. He's a supernatural person and sent forth a supernatural Son. And He performed a supernatural feat, and that's to die for sin and shed His blood. And so we see, first of all, the personality of God. God in His essence, we know is love. God is love. But God in the characteristics of God is that He is good to us. His personality is that He is good. The Bible says in Psalm number 25 and verse number 8, the Scripture says, "Good and upright is the Lord." Good and upright, outstanding, is the Lord. Therefore, will He teach sinners in the way. You and I, we're sinners, and God teaches us. God brought us to a point one day that we saw ourselves as a sinner in His sight. We really looked upon ourselves as God sees us, and we didn't find anything very good about us. If we'd be honest, we would find that when we looked upon ourselves as God revealed our heart to ourselves, we found that there wasn't anything good there to be desired. There wasn't any reason that the Lord would desire us or would want us. But yet in His goodness and His grace and His mercy, He sent His Son to purchase us and to give us eternal life. And so good and upright is the Lord. He's good. He's upright. And He teaches sinners in the way. As we walk our pathway of life, He teaches us. He trains us. He gives us direction of life. He tells us, guides us in which direction to go. And so we find He is a God of personality. God's not something or someone over here in the far reaches of the universe that cannot be touched. He's not some personality that doesn't know what's going on in this world. A lot of people think, a lot of people act like God doesn't know anything going on. Everything's taking God by surprise. But my friend, God knows everything going on. God knows the condition of this world. God knows the what's going on in the world and the of politics and every other way. God just knows, and He's there to help us as a child. He's a personal God. He knows me personally. He knows you personally and individually. As I've said so many times, we all have different personalities. We all have different ideas and desires and wants and ways of doing things. But because we're different doesn't make us wrong. But God knows our personality. God knows us individually. God doesn't know us just collectively as the human race. God knows you and God knows me. And there's that personality of God. And therefore, because He's good and upright, He can and He does teach sinners in the way. And so the third thing we need to know is that the goodness that that we're talking about here is a supernatural goodness that comes from the Lord, that is a personal God. In Psalm number 33 and verse number 5, the Bible says the earth is filled with the goodness of the Lord. Everywhere you look, you see the goodness of God. Everywhere you look around, what you're doing, everywhere you go, you see God and His grace and goodness to us. It is God's goodness that leads us unto salvation. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 2 and verse number 4, the Scripture says, despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? It's the goodness of God that brings us about the place where we can get saved. This crowd, that this religious group that talk and act like and really promote that they have something to do with their salvation, they just need to read the Bible. They just need to study the Word of God. We don't have one iota. We have not one particle of our salvation. Everything comes from God. Somebody says, well, I did the believing. Well, who gave you the ability to believe? Who gave you the faith to believe? Faith is a gift of God, and faith comes from God. And so therefore, we don't have anything to do with our salvation. We hear the gospel, we hear the message, and His long-suffering, and His goodness, and His forbearance. All of these things lead us unto repentance. A turning from our way that we're going and turning to God. An about face, you'd say. And going one direction, all of a sudden you turn, go another direction. You're repenting and turning from one thing and turning to God. And it's the goodness of God that brings about repentance in our heart. It's God, it's Him, and it's His goodness that leads us to salvation. Everyone tonight that's in this building that's born again, I'll guarantee you, you're here because of the goodness of God. You're here because of that supernatural goodness, that supernatural grace, that supernatural love that God has for a fallen race of man that despised Him and despised His Son, and yet He still loves us and He's still good to us. And I don't understand it. I don't guess we'll ever fathom all the understanding of why God is so good to us. That's just His personality. That's just His nature. And then He tells us, as believers, that we are to have that same goodness working out of our heart and out of our lives to other people. As we said before, this long-suffering and gentleness and goodness, that's the section of the fruit of the Spirit that deals with people around us. It deals with our neighbors. It deals with our friends. It deals with our enemies. It deals with those we love. It deals with those that we don't love. It just deals with other people. And the Bible says here that we are to have a goodness that comes from God. God has a pardoning goodness, as we just noted there in Romans 2:4, that brings us on to salvation. He pardons us from hell, and He gives us these things. It's God's goodness that will bring us to a point that we realize we're sinners and that we can go to heaven by His grace and by His mercy. We deserve punishment. We deserve hell. But yet God, in His goodness, keeps men from being sent to hell. God in His goodness and grace gives us an avenue, a way of escape. Somebody said, well, people just use, and I've heard people say, you Baptists, you just use salvation as an escape out of hell. Well, when I got saved, that's all I was worried about. And if you be honest, that's all you was worried about. When we get saved, when God shows us we're going to hell, we don't want to go to hell. And God gives us a way of escape. And any man in his right mind will escape that which would kill him and destroy him and hurt him. And so we find that, yes, salvation is an escape route. It's an escape out of hell. But thank God it's an entrance into heaven. It's an entrance into much more than what we escape. And when we get saved, we don't understand all that. We get so well versed in our scriptures and we get so well versed in our doctrine that we think everybody gets saved ought to know what we know. And they don't do that. They don't have that. We didn't know it. And we need to give everybody the same opportunity we had to learn, to grow in the grace of God. And certain things the Lord reveals and helps us with. And God, when a person gets saved, I believe he is immediately a new creature in Christ. Amen. All things are passed away. All things become new. Everything is different. But there's a learning process that also goes along with that. There's a process of teaching and training. And when we get saved, yes, we're worried about going to hell. We don't want to go to hell. But after we've been saved a while, we find out all the benefits of heaven and all the benefits of salvation. And it's a great thing to be a child of God and to realize that it's God that did it. We say, I got saved. Well, we got saved, but God's the one saved us. And all those benefits that come to us from being a child of the King. One of the letters tonight talked about the benefits. Brother McPherson says, we trust that you're enjoying all the benefits that our faith in Christ truly affords. That comes from growing in God's knowledge. That comes from studying the Word of God. That comes from getting in the Scripture and taking it, if we'll have to, word by word and phrase by phrase, and seeing what God has for us and how He works it in our heart, and that we can live it for Him. And so He has God is a personality, a personal God. He gives a pardoning grace and a pardoning goodness that brings us, and thank God that brings a peace that comes out from salvation. Psalm number 34 and verse number 8. The Bible says, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see. There's two senses that God's given us, the eye gate and the tasting. And the Scripture, He says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Blessed is that man that trusts in the Lord and the salvation that comes to him. And it's all because God is good. That's that supernatural goodness. That's Godward. That's God's side. What about this toward us? What about that we are to have? The fruit of the Spirit. That active working fruit of the Spirit in our life. One of those things is to be reflecting God's goodness. One of those things is to be reflecting God and His grace and goodness to us. We are to have that in our life, and we're to show a place of goodness. We're to show a pardoning goodness. We're to show a peace and goodness that comes from the Lord. It's a sensible goodness that we have. Turn, if you would, to the book of Luke, chapter number 6. I want to read a number of verses here tonight. As I was reading these and studying them, I was just going to read one verse. I kept reading. I said, no reason stopping there. Just go on and read a few more. And I read a few more. I said, well, don't stop there. Read a few more. And we'll end up in verse number 35. We're going to start in verse number 27. In Luke chapter number 6, verse number 27, we want to notice tonight that this goodness that God is speaking of here as the fruit of the Spirit is a practical thing for you and I. God doesn't ask us to do impractical things. God doesn't ask us to do impossible things. God wants us to be very practical in our way of life. Now notice here what these verses say to us and this goodness that we are to have. Verse number 27, Luke chapter 6. The Bible says, but I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you. Bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away the cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee. And of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would have that men should do to you, do ye also unto them likewise. Somebody says, where's the verse that says, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you? Well, this is it right here. May not state it that way, but this is what that's talking about. The Bible says there in verse number 31, as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also unto them likewise. If you want to receive a smile, give a smile. If you want to have somebody around you that's happy, be happy. If you want to have joy, then show some joy. If you want somebody to treat you right, then you treat them right. Well, I'm not going to treat them right unless they treat me right. The Bible says here that you are to be the instigator of it. We that have the fruit of the Spirit, that goodness. And the Scripture says here, now this is the Lord talking. And this is words that if you have a red letter edition, I guarantee you they're red. Mine's not red letter, but I know this is the Lord speaking. And he says here, as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also unto them likewise. For if ye love them which love you, what think have you? He said, what does that really accomplish? If you love somebody and they love you, what does that really accomplish as far as goodness? For sinners also love those that love them. He said, that doesn't really amount to a whole lot if you love somebody that loves you. He said, even sinners love people that love them. Verse number 33, and if you do good to them which do good to you, what think have you? For sinners also do even the same. Verse 34, and if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what think have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. Now verse 35, but love ye your enemies. God turns it around here. Well, this is hard. It's easy to read. It's hard to live by, isn't it? It's easy to say you love somebody when somebody says, I love you. But it's hard to say, I love you when they spit in your face. That's what the Lord says here. He says, but love ye your enemies and do what? Good. Goodness. The fruit of the Spirit is goodness. It says, and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. Boy, I read that this afternoon and the Lord just said, that's how you live. That's how you act. Lend, give, but don't expect it back. Some people want to give and they want to get, make sure you get back and get back to them at a certain time, certain plan, add something to it and all that. That's not what the Lord taught. He's talking about here to those that really don't care about you. You do good, you lend, hoping for nothing. Then it says, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. He is kind. I'm glad tonight God's kind. Talks about here that we show that we will be the children of the highest. What that is, it's not that our good works will make us children of the highest, but our good works show that we are children of the highest. What we do for others, we do for God. And the Scripture says here that we, as a child of God, what good is it if we do good to them that do good to us? What does that show? What does that prove? What good is it and what does it prove if we lend to someone knowing we're going to get it back? But he says, you love your enemies. Enemies are those that, if you look up that word enemy, you'll find it's those that hate you. It's those that would not, they just don't care. They wouldn't care if they ever saw you again. They don't want to take your money. They don't want you around. And the Scripture says here that the Lord says, as a part of our goodness that God has given to us, that we do good. We just do good. It's not hard to do good. It's probably more difficult than it is to do evil. We have that nature within us. But the Scripture says here we can do good. The Scripture here says that we can lend, hoping for nothing. And then it says, and your reward shall be great. That reward we'll talk about a little bit later. So we find that God gives us a practical goodness. Do good to those that will not do you good. Do unto others as they would do unto you. Do to them as you would want them to do. Follow a pattern and a course and a chart. Do things because you desire to do it, not because you have to do it. I despise things that people think they have to do. It ought to be because we want to do. It ought to be because we desire to do it. We ought not to have to come to church. I've heard people say, well, I got to go to church today. This is Sunday. Well, you ought to stay home. It'd do you about as much good. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. No, you don't have to do it. Y'all don't want to do it. That's like saying, I've got to love God. No, you don't have to love God. You don't have to, but you ought to. God's done so much for us. And the Scripture says here that that men, whatever we want men to do to us, we do to them first. Not hoping for return, not hoping for reward, but knowing that God in His grace and in His mercy, He will reward us. They may not reward, they may not desire it. They may not want it. Our enemies may not want those things that we would do for them. And they certainly are not going to say thank you. But God does. Great is your reward, the Scripture says here. And ye shall be the children of the highest, for He is kind. That's the same word as for good. For He is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. So this goodness, that sensible goodness that God gives us is a practical thing. It's just day by day living. Just living for the Lord. Just serving Him. Being practical in our life. Verse 20 of Romans chapter 12. The Scripture says, therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in doing so, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Now, if you have an enemy, you can fight with it. You can fuss with it. You can go at it. One thing will lead to another, and one thing will lead to something else, and all of a sudden you're really in trouble. But the Bible says here, if you have an enemy, if he's hungry, just feed him. He don't know how to take that. He don't understand that. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. He doesn't understand why you'd do that. Because you see, if he's your enemy, he feels like you're his enemy. He feels like you feel the same way as he does. And you've got to prove that you don't. You've got to, in this goodness that God's given to us, you've got to prove that you don't have that same kind of attitude. You've got to prove that you are different. You've got to prove that there is something working and active in your life that's far different than what they have. So if they're hungry, go buy them a hamburger. They're hungry, give them something. If they're thirsty, give them something to drink. And the Bible says in doing that, you heap coals of fire on their head. It just makes them madder most of the time. And God says, you do good, you do right. Well, Bob Jones Sr., he said, do right if the stars fall, do right. Doesn't matter what happens, just do right, and God will bless it, and God will honor it. So we find this goodness that God has for us. It's easy to do good to those that do good to us, but the Scripture says do good to those that are even our enemies. There's a prayerful goodness that we ought to have. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 15, see that you not render evil for evil unto any man. Don't render evil for evil. What's the saying? Two wrongs don't make a right? I've heard that. You've heard that. We've all said that. Well, there's the Scripture for it. Don't render evil for evil. As it says here, unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Do good. Don't render evil. Don't do things just because it's been done to you. The fruit of the Spirit is goodness. The fruit of the Spirit, the active work of God in our heart is to be good. The active work of God in our heart is toward others is to be long-suffering. That's the first thing we notice in this thing of others. We have to deal a long time with people. We have to put up with things a long time. But God says, that's all right. In the end, you're the one to get the blessing. We have to have that goodness of God. The blessings of the Lord. And the Scripture says long-suffering. Then last week we looked at gentleness. Just to be kind. That gentleness and kindness is the same thing. And then you come tonight to goodness. And they're so closely related. Never do we return evil for evil. Always good for evil. Only as being people of the Spirit of God can we do that. You get in your own heart and your own flesh, I'll tell you what you'll do. You'll render evil for evil. In your own power and your own strength, under the flesh and the work of the flesh and the power of the flesh, you'll do evil to those that do evil to you. That's human nature, but this is the fruit of the Spirit. The Bible talks about the works of the flesh there in verse 19. They're manifest, but the fruit of the Spirit, the working of God in our life, and that's goodness, the goodness of God. So there's that supernatural goodness that comes from God. There's that sensible goodness that God gives us, just being sensible in our life and in the way of life. And then lastly tonight, there's that spiritual goodness. God in His Spirit, surely, the Bible tells us in Psalm 23:6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. All the days of my life. How many that is. Now the psalmist says, goodness and mercy shall follow me. There's that spiritual goodness that comes from God. The Bible says that we will reap. The Scripture where we read there in the Gospel of Luke says that the Lord would be the one that would give the reward. He said, your reward shall be great. Why will your reward be great? What makes it great? Because you do that which is unnatural, uncommon. The natural thing, if somebody smacks you, is to smack them back. That's natural. God says, don't be natural. God says, render good for evil. And He said, in doing that, I'll give you a reward. The Bible tells us that God promises that rewards will be given unto us. We will reap those things, those good things that God has permitted us to have. I really believe we ought to develop these things of the fruit of the Spirit. It'd make us a lot better Christian. It'd make us a lot happier person. It'll make us a person that can enjoy life a little bit better. You're saying you never, if we do all these things, we won't have any problems, we won't have any difficulties, we won't have any burden. No, I'm not saying that. But I'm saying day by day life, living for God is a lot better than living for the world. Just living the way you want to live. And if we serve God, He says your reward shall be great. It's going to be not something just over there that nobody notices, but your rewards are going to be great, and you'll be known as a child of God. The greatest thing that can be said about you is not where you live or what your address is or what status quo you are. The greatest thing to be said about you is that you are a Christian, that you are saved. And the only way you can tell people all you want to tell them, it's a lot better to show them. It means a whole lot more. You can tell somebody, you can tell the whole world, I'm a Christian. Never do anything Christ-like, they're not going to believe you. You can tell someone, I love you, and you never do anything to show it. They may not believe that very long. So we got to show some things. We got to deal in this area. And if we do what God tells us to do, He says, your reward's going to be great. Your reward's going to be far-reaching. The Bible says in Luke chapter 6 and verse 38, give and it shall be given unto you. And we always use money in that. That's not what we're talking about tonight. Now, that's a good verse for money. You preach on tithing, that's a good verse to have. Give and it shall be given. And then the relationship is there. But the scripture is so broad that it doesn't just necessarily mean. It means give of yourself. Probably the most miserable person is a selfish person. All they do is gratify self. And you find out full on, old self never gratified. You just keep on. It never comes to a place of being satisfied. And the scripture says here, give, it shall be given unto you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give to your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet with, it shall be measured unto you. Whatever you give, God says it'll come back, it'll be given back. But He says here, it'll be given in good measure. It'll be pressed down. It'll be shaken together. You know what? I don't know why I thought of this. I used to work in produce. And you know what them birds do? They do it now. I used to do it. You get a big bunch of strawberries in. And they've rode the truck a long ways. They get shook down there pretty good. And you can take one, I don't know what you call it. Flat, okay. A flat of strawberries. And it has how many quarts? Six? Whatever it is. Anyway, out of those six or eight, whatever's in there, if you'll just pour them out, put them back in, you'll get 10 or 12. Now you know what they do with your strawberries. You know why? Because it makes them more money. But you know what this scripture says here? That what we get back will be pressed down. Ride the truck a long way and get shook together. And then it tells us here, not only pressed down, but pressed down, shaken together, and running over. That's how God does us. That's what God does. He doesn't pour it out and skimp us on those things. God gives us more than we deserve. God gives us much more than ever is there. That's our reward. God gives back. If we give, God will give back. This is not only our money, it's our time. It's our goodness. You want somebody to be kind to you? Be kind. You want somebody to be good to you? Be good. God will give it back. He'll press it down. He'll push it. He'll run it over. Our work. All those things. God has promised that if you give, God says it'll be given back. Why? Because that's the goodness of the Lord. And as a child of the King, we'd have to have that same goodness active in our life. If we withhold from God, He withholds from us. If we withhold from others, they withhold from us. If we're not going to do anything for them, then they say, why did I do anything for them? So we see that the pattern here is that it's left up to you and I that are Christians to show forth the goodness of God. The world doesn't have it, and therefore they cannot do it. The world doesn't know anything about the goodness. All the world is concerned about is just surviving. Just getting along in this world. Just making it. Making ends meet. Well, there's more to life than that. We're to show that. The Bible tells in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 1, cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. What is he saying there? You throw it out, and it'll come back. You throw it out, and it'll come back. You give, and God will give back. of the fruit of the Spirit is goodness. There is a goodness that is a supernatural goodness. It's only God's. We're not supernatural. That's only God. He in His mercy and His goodness supernaturally gave His Son. We have life. But He gives to us a sensible and a spiritual goodness. We're to be sensible in our conduct toward others and sensible in our goodness toward others, and we're going to reap spiritual rewards because of that. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. May God help us to have those things active. Before you can ever have long-suffering, gentleness, and goodness, you've got to have love, joy, and peace. You know why a lot of people can't do anything? Why they can't perform things of goodness and gentleness and long-suffering? Because they don't have any joy. They don't have any peace. Many of them don't know anything about love. I'm talking about that agape love that comes from God. See, God puts everything in order. There's nothing out of order. The first three determine the rest of it. Love, joy, and peace determine everything else. If you have love, you'll have long-suffering. If you have joy, you'll have gentleness. If you have peace, you'll be good. All those things work interacting together. And that's just by the grace of God. So I pray the Lord would help us as we walk the pathway of life. Sure, we falter and fail. Sometimes we're not so good. Sometimes we render evil for evil. Sometimes we do things, say things we ought not to say. But we are to be dealing and working and knowing that God wants these things in our life. And when they're lacking, we're to work on it. We're to pray God to help us. When they falter and when we fail, then we thank God we can go to Him who is long-suffering, who is gentle, and who is good. We can go to Him. He'll help us in our walk of life. So I pray we'll have the fruit of the Spirit active, working in our life as a child of God, as a Christian, that we would be good. I'm not talking about actions as such to say, boy, that's a good fellow. I'm talking about actions in doing things and helping others and showing a relationship that we have with God. You see, we can never do anything for others unless we first experience what God has done for us. It comes from God to man, and then it comes from man to man. First comes from God. Let's stand together. I hope you get some help out of these things. And pray they'll be in our life to help us have the right kind of spirit in our life. Sometimes we need some help. And I pray the Lord will help us in that. Our Father, tonight as we bow, Lord, before we have a time of looking and thinking upon our own selves, dear Lord, we thank You for the Word of God that teaches and trains us, and Lord, that shows us. God, so many times, the Word of God pierces our heart. And Lord, the Word of God, as You've told us, is quick and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. Lord, I find so many things in my life that's lacking in this thing of gentleness and goodness. Lord, I want to try. I want to have that in my life. Lord, I find that sometimes the love and the joy and the peace are not there as they should be. But Lord, I want them back. Father, I pray tonight that You'd help us as Christians, as people of God, to have the fruit of the Spirit. God, may we be good. May we be gentle. May we be kind. May we be long-suffering. Because God, You're all of those things and much more to us. You're so good to us. Lord, help us now to serve You. Teach us, train us, give us these things in our heart and life. May they be active, that others would see Christ living in us. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.